Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from rainy Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 23rd, episode 750, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the Queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Oh my gosh, it is Monday. Put your hands out in front of you. Do some deep knee bends, some stretching. Try to get it together because it is Monday. And Glenn, I am having a post-Vegas Monday, but not the kind of post-Vegas Monday that I used to have. No hangover whatsoever. The problem was the drive home. We kept having to stop because he was so unhappy being in his car seat. Of course, I'm talking about the 3.5-month-old child that accompanied us to Vegas. He's really cute, and that is a saving grace for him. But Glenn, did you know that you cannot? Not like I was going to hang out or anything, but do you know you cannot take a baby into a casino?
Well, now, all the hotels in Vegas, you have to go through the casino to get to your room. How are you supposed to do that if you got a baby along?
Well, what was frowned upon, because I wasn't staying at a casino, I was staying with some friends, and we decided to go to the Strip to, you know, just and on Friday afternoon and have some entertainment. And, of course, where do I want to go for entertainment but the sports book so we can sit and play some ponies? And that's one of my favorite things. And we had him in his car seat. He was totally asleep. On a Friday morning-ish afternoon, there's really not that many people in a sports book. And we went to one, to the half. There was no smoke. You know, there was no people smoking cigars and stuff. No, there was none of that. It was a very clean area of the MGM's sports book. And there's four of us, and I'm explaining, you know, how to bet. I'm like, don't do what I do, but I'm explaining to my friends how to bet horses, so maybe they can make money.
Yeah, don't bet Jamie's horses.
don't bet the ones I bet, but bet your own horse. And I'm explaining to them how it works, and all of a sudden, you know, so I go to pick up little Luke because he's just getting fussy in his car seat. So I pick him up and I sit him on my lap, and it was like I pulled a gun on the president. The SWAT team security of the MGM swarmed down upon me. Like, there must not be anything else to do on a Friday mid-morning at a sportsbook casino at the MGM, because it was like people with earpieces surrounded me. And I was informed ever so not gently that there are no minors allowed to loiter in the casino. And I was like, wait. Yes, you heard that right.
You had to argue, didn't you? You argued, didn't you?
You know me. I'm like, wait a second, hold up. Loitering, the definition of loitering is basically standing around. I mean, this child is 3.5 months old. There is no standing around. He is not loitering. Ma'am, we cannot have anybody underage in the casino. I'm like, he's an infant. You don't understand, ma'am. He's under 21 years old. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? And so I'm like yelling at these two. I just wanted to relax and watch some horse races. It did not go so well for me. I was, the cool thing is that when my child gets old enough, I get to tell him he has been kicked out of a casino, like forcefully. They did everything to grab my ear and pull me out of there. Like,
did they pick you up by the arms and escort you out?
I just was like, you know what, let me just get through this race. And they were like, ma'am, you have to leave right now. And I'm like, I just placed a bet. Let me see who wins. He's like, ma'am, you have to leave right now. We need to ask you to leave. And it was like they started getting closer. Like, they started surrounding me. And so Chad's like, I'll take the baby. And so Chad grabs the baby and walks out. Now, in a casino, there's also restaurants and stuff. So we went into the Rainforest Cafe and had to sit there. And we did let the guys go play an hour of blackjack while we sat there and drank in the Rainforest Cafe. So all is not lost. But I did
well,
not
he probably
mean that.
The little guy probably liked Rainforest Cafe because there's a lot of visual stimulation there. So he probably liked that. Yeah.
The lightning storms were a little overstimulating, I do believe. But yes, it was definitely a different and all new type of Las Vegas for me.
I think it's interesting and says a lot for our military that it was the military fighter pilot guy who backed down before you did.
The
5'2" wily horse girl who was not going to be told off by these guys in suits.
See, that's where we make a good couple, because he cannot get in trouble, because he will lose security clearances. He will pay in the job. So that's where he is the person who goes, I'll fix this. Whereas I am a bit more of the burr under the saddle pad. Like, you can't do that. I'm really glad that he was there to diffuse the situation. I just immediately get offended. I'm like, wait, 3.5 months, he's not loitering. He's with me. He's my child. I did not go so well. So
that's why the kids can walk through the casino to get to their hotel room. They just can't hang around.
You know what was really interesting, Glenn, is I thought, you know, if I posted a picture of him on Facebook, and thought, you know, of him yawning and kind of minorly detailing our situation. And I was shocked with the amount of people that immediately posted, oh, my God, my kid got kicked out of a casino, too. I was like, so I'm not the only one. This is fantastic. Several Air Force wives posted how they, too, had been kicked out of the casino. And one woman who's an Air Force wife was staying at a casino for 2 weeks. I'm sure her husband was doing some sort of exercise there. And she said that she had to, because she was there so long, to get to the cafe, they made her go outside and around to the front of the building with her baby. So.
Well, you know, years ago, they had this, what was it, in the 90s, they had this huge campaign that went on for like 10 years about how Las Vegas is for families, bring your family. You remember that? They spent a lot of time and a lot of money advertising that, and yet they still put it that you have to go through the casino to get anywhere in the hotel.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. And you can't find an exit in a casino either. I mean, dear God, I'm lost in there for hours. I don't know where I'm
especially
going.
Especially
MGM.
MGM is the hugest casino ever. It's like 20 square blocks, and to find anything in MGM, you're lost.
Yes. All I could do is follow the signs to the sports book, where then I had to follow the signs to the exit. So it did not go so well. I did not win any money. I did not even gamble. I placed one bet, like I said, one bet, and I bet the long shot, and I should have put him to show instead of get greedy and put him to win. 50-1 long shot comes in third, and I'm so pissed at myself. And I was like, why didn't I put him to show? You know, you do that. And then they're, like, escorting me out. So I found no answer to my question.
You are such a lawbreaker. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
We're going to be visiting Jamie in the local lockup in Vegas. On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, Following a wrap-up of the weekend host-centric adventures, as you just witnessed, we will be taking a trip to the mental side of riding with Daniel Stewart as he stops by to provide a preview of his new book, Pressure Proof Your Riding. And following a round of random horse headline commentary, the wacky world of horses takes center stage, offering up a laugh-inducing acceptance speech for the week. Stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my daily Winnie goes out to Canadian Legacy listener Rhonda and her husband, horse husband Jason, for stopping by to visit us here at Radio Ranch in Ocala. They were down in Orlando and took a ride up, and we had a lovely lunch, and they came out, and she got to meet the ponies, got to meet both of them, took a little picture with Scooter and posted it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, so you can see that there. I think she's the first listener to meet Scooter, actually, so... So thanks for coming up. They're spending the week down there.
How many other listeners come to your house?
They might be the first, actually. I don't know that we've had anybody else. Trying to remember. I don't think so. So they are the first.
Well, they're the only ones in
Canada,
then.
Too.
Yes, sir.
Wow. So I have two, and my first one I just posted on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page. It's the coolest article. It's a fantastic article in the LA Times about Mucho Macho Man and his trainer, Kathy Ripo. So I just – somebody's singing. Can you guys hear him?
I hear that. I do hear that. He wants to go back to the casino.
Yeah, he wants to go back. So, well, that's my first daily win. You can read the article. Again, like I said, I posted the link on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And my second one, whoop, whoop, goes to my Atlanta Braves, baby. NL East champions. They clinched yesterday. They beat the Cubs. It doesn't even matter to beat the Cubs. They just finally clinched the division. So they are the National League East champions. They will now go on to the National League Division Series. So go Braves. Oh, I'm doing the Tomahawk Chop right now. Oh, woo. I might admit I got a little teary-eyed yesterday when it happened. Yay!
Weren't they in last year, too? Were they in last year, right?
I'm still I'm still a little bothered by last year, Glenn.
I brought it up.
Thank you for doing that, because let me tell you how irritated I am. That whoever that bad umpire was that made that final call saying it was an infield fly when there's 2 men on base. Are you freaking kidding me? The ball got hit to the outfield and he called it an infield fly rule. And then it was a 1-game playoff to get into the wild card spot, which is
stupid. Yeah, I'm sorry I brought it up.
It was a 1-game playoff and was so ridiculous. So it was like Chipper Jones, second, and his last at bat. He's the second to last one.
Okay, going on now. The Mustang Millions. The Mustang Million Finals happened over the weekend, back to the world of horses. And, of course, that's the Extreme Mustang Makeover, and the Mustang Heritage Foundation put on the Mustang Million. We had a number of entrants, I think it was 20 or 25, that had trained Mustangs all year long and brought them to the finals and then had a little competition to see what these Mustangs would do. Tom Hagwood won. He's out of Wisconsin, I believe. He's a horse trainer, and he won with his gelding Merv. And they're the 2013 Mustang Million Legends Champions. Now, Jamie, you rescue horses all the time. Okay, you're a horse rescuer. You're not exactly a collector because you do eventually sell them, but you rescue horses. You need to start doing Mustangs. You're doing the wrong darn thing, because this winner, this Tom Hagwood, won $200,000 and a 2014 Ram truck. You're in the wrong frickin' rescue business.
You know, it's come to my attention several times, Glenn, that I am in the non-money-making side of the horse world. I get it. And, you got to do what you can do. And winning a Ram truck will never be a problem for me. It will never be like, oh, she's in the running for the truck. I completely get that. The only way I will ever be in the running for a brand-new Ram truck is if I play the lottery.
Well, yeah, this guy did win, and second place was, let's see here, coming in second and third was Bobby Kerr, who's actually been on the Western show. And then fourth was Dan James, who we know and has been on our show a number of times. And rounding out the top was Mary Kitzmiller, who's also been a guest on the Western show. So that was the top five there in the Mustang Million. Congratulations to the youth champion. They also had a youth division, Jacqueline Donahue, and her yearling Calibrated Cadenza, which I really like that name, Calibrated Cadenza, won the youth division of the Mustang Million. I don't know what that paid. I tried to find that and I couldn't. I don't know if it paid anything.
Did she get a new bicycle or something? Like,
I don't know. I don't know what she got. A new saddle, maybe. And then one of the other exciting things that happened was Ben Masters, who we know because he was part of the Unbridled crew that did the 3,000-mile trek from Mexico to Canada. Remember we had them on while they were on the hype the one day?
Yeah,
came
I wasn't
on the
here
show.
That day, and I was really jealous that you guys got to talk to them because it was such a great interview. But, yeah, so is that they were involved?
Yeah, because they auctioned off one of the horses, Luke, that was a Mustang gelding that was part of the crew and did part of the 3,000-mile trek. So they auctioned him off for charity that would benefit the Mustang Heritage Foundation. As a matter of fact, these guys from the Unbranded crew gave all the money to the Mustang Heritage Foundation. And this Mustang sold for $25,000. So they
Good
raised
Lord.
A ton of money. Yeah, I know. They raised a ton of money. Very pretty paint horse, and they raised a ton of money for that foundation. So good for them. I think it was a neat thing they did, and obviously a very popular horse. Is that set a record for the most that a Mustang's ever been sold for ever? Got to be up
I
there.
I would imagine. You know what I'm learning right now is that if I'm going to sell a horse, forget Craigslist, forget Dream Horse, forget word of mouth. I'm going to tell everybody that it's for charity, and I'm going to auction it off.
There you go.
Wouldn't that be great?
That'll do it. So that's what happened in the Mustang Million Finals in Texas over the weekend. So good for them. They did it, and it's a good thing. I mean, obviously a very good cause. So
we're
happy
great.
To mention it. Now, also, something else that came out over the weekend is you obviously remember that we had Penny Chenery on and her son John, and we had them on the show a while back about Secretariat,
awesome.
about the new film they're coming out called Penny and Red, and that's the film. It's about them and their lives, and it's really about Penny. Well, I have the audio of the official trailer that came out, and I have to tell you a little bit because it is a lot of music in it. With the voice you hear talking is Penny Chenery. Now, we had them on the show August 23rd, and Jamie got to do an interview of a lifetime. So if you want to go back and listen to that, if you missed it, it was August 23rd at horsesinthemorning.com. You can listen to that interview. But here's the official trailer, and it was Penny speaking. She's the one you hear speaking in the trailer.
Now it's Rita Lip and
Secretariat.
They're right there together.
The horse can't talk, so I can. I think I was probably pretty tough and showed off a lot. I just knew that I'm playing a role, and I'm going to keep playing it because it works. I needed something.
It was so clear to me that being able to take over for her father was saving her life.
When he heard the click of the camera, the ears lit up. He was on. The two of us were hands.
Honey baked.
There at the post. Hello. People come up to me and say, "Oh, you are so strong. You're such a role model." You know, nonsense. I was just having a grand time, and I didn't want people to get in my way. This moment, I can do anything.
I love that quote. I was just having a grand time, and I just didn't want anybody to get in my way, which he didn't have there, or I would run their ass over, just like our horse. I mean, those two were really meant for each other, weren't they?
They really were, and I like how she said they were both hams too.
And whoever, I think that might have been John that was in the video with her there. And I love that he said, "Yeah, honey baked." I thought that was pretty good. And then right after that, when she's talking about running people over, they showed Secretariat in the one winner's circle, and he was dragging about two grooms all the way down the line of people. So he was a handful.
And again, another reason to go back and listen to the interview with her, because if you saw the Disney movie, you saw where she's standing in front of him, looking into his eyes, kissing his nose, giving him a bath. She's like, basically tells us that was total BS, because she's like, he is a big, giant, powerful stallion, and you couldn't do that with him, and that was kind of Disney-fied. And you know what? I'm glad she said that, because that was the one part of the movie I was like, okay, come on. I worked at the track. That horse would bite your face off.
Yeah, and apparently drag you across the track, too. It was very interesting. I can't wait for that to come out. Now, I don't know exactly how it's coming out. Maybe Jennifer could look that up on their website and see. I don't know if it's going to theaters, or do you remember? Did we have that conversation with them? I don't remember.
I don't remember either, because I don't think they had an idea of when it was going to even be out. They just had the night that they had planned was to play it for everybody, but he didn't really have a good answer for how we could get it.
All right, so we'll keep you informed on that. They'll let us know what's going on, so we'll keep you informed on that, but I can't wait for that one to come out. You know what I want to do? I want to watch the movie again before I watch the trailer, because it's been so long now since I've seen the movie, I really do want to watch it again. I think that would be fun. Let's change gears a little bit, and do you live anywhere near Willcox, Arizona?
Willcox, Arizona, beautiful, sunny desert, hell on earth, Willcox, Arizona. No, it's about 3 hours. I mean,
apparently,
he doesn't like Willcox, Arizona.
Not either.
It's about 3 hours southeast. It's kind of like right off I-10 as you're heading towards New Mexico. So, no, not anywhere super close.
Well, that's good, because you know how we always have the stories about the swarming bees that attack attack horses and people, and they're always out of Texas? Well, apparently they're moving into Arizona now. And this is kind of a sad story, but I want to ask you, there's a reason I'm bringing it up, because we don't like usually to do the sad stories, but there's a reason I'm bringing it up. Sunday morning, a swarm of bees attacked a woman and her horses just north of Willcox, killing one of the animals.
Now,
this is what happened. The sheriff's department responded when they were called about two horses that were down. Apparently, this woman went out and observed the bees in her paddock, observed the bees attacking her horses. She advised that she attempted to get the bees away from the animals, and then she was repeatedly stung in the head. The woman said that both horses went down during the attack and were suffering from multiple bee stings. And in fact, one of the horses died, and the other's at a emergency hospital now. Now, she had 20 bee stings to her head. So here is my question for everybody, and maybe, Jennifer, you can figure out a way to post this on Facebook and maybe a link to the story. But you walk outside and you see swarm, and I don't know if you've ever experienced a swarm of bees like that, but it's one scary, loud thing. They're very loud. And you see this swarm of bees attacking your horses. Are you going to run in the middle of it? I'm not sure. I love my pony, but I'm not sure I'm going to run in the middle of it, because I don't know that you would accomplish anything.
I can answer that question for you. Did I not tell you my bee story?
Well, you said while you were riding, you were attacked, right?
No. So I lived in this house, and I had a huge, giant pasture that the horses were all in, and there was four horses. But they were all thoroughbreds, and they food aggressive, so I actually had to tie them up individually to the fence to feed them their grain because I didn't have a barn. So I see from my house, I see one of the horses, like, stamping and freaking out. I'm like, why is he pulling back against the fence? So I go out there. And I look at him, and I'm like, he's a black horse, and he was yellow with all the yellow jackets that were on him. So ooh. I ran up to him, and I reached my arm out to unclip him from, so at least he can make a run for it, you know. And as soon as I reach up to unclip him from the fence, I realize that there's actually a yellow jacket nest in the ground next to the pole. So, and my arm gets covered in bees, and then the second horse starts freaking out, and he's tied two poles down, so I have to go untie him, and then I untie the next one, and then the next one. So I am actually being swarmed while I was unhooking everybody from the fence. And so the four horses and I are running like waving our arms over, you know, like just totally freaking out, covered in bees. So again, I knew they weren't killer bees, so it's not like I was risking my life, but I did have to drive myself to the hospital, and I had a stick shift truck, and my hand, when I was shifting the gear, it looked like somebody else's arm because it was so huge from being swollen. I had like 47 things on my right arm, just on my right hand alone, and then all over my body. It was awful, awful.
Well, now, okay, so they were tied up, and I kind of get why you went into that. Now, if they're loose in the field, what would you do it again after having had that experience?
I would give them some dexamethasone once the attack once the attack ended.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. Jennifer, would you run out in the middle of the field with your horse being attacked by bees?
I think that depends on the circumstances. I really do. If I had a garden hose handy, that's where I'd be. Garden hose.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Spray them down.
Yeah. Now, see, if it was Beaker, I might try it because I have reasonable confidence that he would let me catch him. If it was PT Scooter, probably not so much. He's not a trusting soul.
Yeah, but
let your pony die.
This is one of those situations, though, where it's in the barn during the storm or out of the barn during the storm. If they're loose in the field and they're being attacked, you would assume that they, you know, they have a better chance. What are you going to do? Go catch them and slow them down? You know what I mean? Do they have a better chance on their own than you're holding them? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. This
well, what are you going to, with a herd that's running around, I can't imagine that you're going to be anything but a target. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Well, you know what you're going to do is you're going to draw some of the bees away from the horse.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's a good plan.
Yeah, you're a target.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm a wimp. I don't know. I'm probably a wimp. Maybe I have no heart at all. Maybe. And you don't know what you would do in a situation like that either because you got about 2 seconds to decide.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. What would you do, Glenn?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I think, you know, if they're out in the middle of the field and, you know, they're being attacked, what is anything I'm going to do out there going to help the situation? I don't know.
Exactly. So I can't help
I don't
you.
Know. You know, again, I might be a wimp, and maybe the brave thing to do would be go out there and suck the bees away. But then, you know, you're going to be underground, too. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what helps in that situation.
We'll see what the listeners type. We'll see what they write.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I have one more story here before we get to our guest today, who we're very excited to have back on the show with us because he's been with us many times, and he's always a terrific guest. And, of course, that's Daniel Stewart. But he'll be on the show with us here in a couple of minutes. But the one thing I wanted to mention was, and I always mention it every year because it is kind of a big deal in the dressage world, is that Dressage at Devens starts today. It's one of the big events in the United States in the world of dressage. It's been going since 1975. And if you've ever been there, we've been there a couple times. If you've ever been there, it's a really neat location, and it's a really neat setting, and it's just it fits dressage perfectly, just the way the whole place is set up, and a lot of good food, too. It's probably some of the best food at any horse show is at the dressage at Devon. So that it started today, and we'll be going on.
Can I ask? Why were you at dressage at Devon?
We had a booth there when we had our tack business.
Oh, okay. And also, so it's not like Jennifer drug you out going, oh, my God, we're going to go watch the dressage.
No, it is. I did not volunteer to go and watch dressage for a week.
That's like, you know what? There's sometimes in life when
I would rather run into the nest of bees attacking my horse, just to clarify.
There's times in your life where you, as a wife, you know, you need to ask your husband to do some extra special stuff, you know, like take him to Rolex. Like, babe, we need to go to Rolex. We got to do this. We got to do that. You got to go to my horse show. But going to a professional, like, only dressage show, my husband would leave me. He'd be like, I'm sorry.
He would also run into the nest of bees, killer bees attacking your horse.
Yeah, he would. He would be like, I'll take the bees.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. I'll take my chances. Well, let's talk a little bit about Omega Alpha Equine. If you want all natural supplements for your horse, ones that you know are going to be right, then the place to look is Omega Alpha Equine. We have Dr. Chang on here all the time, who is the main one at the company that designs the products. And, you know, he just knows what he's talking about and has a sense of humor, too, which for a doctor of nutrition is saying something. And they do a terrific job. You use several of their products. So you're one that can talk about it better than anybody, Dean.
Well, I do. I use a lot of their stuff. It just depends on what time of the year it is. I'm a huge fan of not putting a bunch of chemicals into my horses. And these supplements are all natural. They're all herbal. So if I'm going to, you know, help my horse's breathing or help my horse calm down or help my, I want it to be all natural. So that's why I like Omega Alpha. You can find them at OmegaAlphaEquine.com and tell them we sent you.
Very good. Your guest is ready.
All right. Well, you know, I love, love, love having this nice man on our show. He is one of the, in Phoenix anyway, he's one of the most coveted spots to get into one of his clinics. So much so that I've never been able to get into one of his clinics, so, but all my friends have. And his name is Daniel Stewart. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, good morning. How are you? I'm so sorry about the whole not getting into the clinic thing. I can't believe you've never been in one of my clinics.
You're so popular, though. It's amazing. I mean, people are already talking about when you're coming back the next time. And you're so popular with the eventing crew here in Phoenix. And now just the amount of people that want to get in the clinic or want to go audit, you're very popular. And I know why. It's because I still do things in my warm-up before horse trials that you told me years ago to do. So, you know, I really appreciate exactly what you do. And you've got a new book out for your mental training technique. Now, just for those, a little backstory, Daniel Stewart teaches clinics and seminars to thousands of riders a year all over the entire country, going to meetings and Equine Affair and the expos and every place you can. He is also the author of Ride Right with Daniel Stewart, and it's basically sports psychology for riders. Is that how you would describe what you teach?
Well, you know what? So my original book was Ride Right, so that's correct. And Ride Right, for any of your listeners who have a copy, the first half of the book is on the physical development of the rider. So there's a really cool fitness program. There's a strength and conditioning program. There is a sit-up program. And then, of course, there's the mounted program. So the first half of the book covers how to be a good physical rider. And then the second half of the book covers how to be a good mental rider. So the second half of the book, we talk about goal setting, confidence building and that sort of thing. So Ride Right was a super cool book. It was great. I think it was the number one equine bestseller for 2 years or something like that in the beginning, in the very beginning. Now, Ride Right sold out 2 or 3 times, and we kept reprinting it. And then it sold out for the last time about 2 years ago. So Ride Right actually is now kind of off the shelves. I think your listeners can still find it at Amazon. But my new book is called Pressure Proof Your Riding. So, Jamie and Glenn, this is so cool. The new books arrived in my home 3 days ago.
Oh, wow.
Me too. I got one. I have it right here.
Did you get one already?
So
the publishers and Amazon got them before I did. My boat floated apparently slower than the other boat from Hong Kong where the book was printed in China. And then it got hung up in the port of Miami because I live in Florida. So I got my books on Friday. And I can't tell you guys what an amazing feeling it is to dedicate 2.5 years of your life to writing something that you really believe in, you know, confidence building and overcoming perfectionism and show jitters and fear of failure, because it's such awesome stuff. I mean, and it's so wonderfully helpful. So for me to receive a truck in front of my home with 1,000 copies, which eats up my whole home. My children have no bedroom anymore. They're, like, living in the garage. But I can't tell you what a wonderful feeling it is to see this beautiful new book. And it's anything but black and white. There are 100 cartoons in the book. There are massive, full-size, powerfully moving, motivating pictures. There are 45 quizzes and fill-in-the-blanks. There's lots of little text boxes with fun facts and neat
things. Scratch and sniff, everything, yeah.
Yeah. So, guys, thank you for recognizing that. So Pressure Proof Your Riding, it is. This new book is all about mental training for the rider. We cover everything from overcoming defense mechanisms like, you know, avoiding challenges, to we talk about, you know, the 9 different ways to close your eyes and visualize your test or your course. You know, we'll talk about confidence. We'll talk about fear of failure, overcoming perfectionism, a big section on show jitters because many of us, you know, struggle with that, a big section on how do you ride well when people are watching. You know, just the most amazing, you know, the most amazingly helpful little tips and tools all through the book. So,
yeah,
so I'm very happy. Yes.
That sounds so cool. And a lot of what you do is stuff that, you know, we encounter in our everyday riding life. Every day, there might be somebody watching you. You might be nervous. You might be at a competition. You might have, you know, something pop up that's unplanned, and you tell everybody how to get through that and how to deal with the distraction and the anxiety and the nerves and the stress of all of it. When I describe that, it sounds like riding's no fun at all. Oh my God, the stress and the nerves.
That's why there's some
really
of us who
fun.
Don't compete.
It really is fun, I swear. At the end, it's really fun. But you tell us how to deal with that as well. And so we've got basically, are you saying this is like a whole book on that?
Can I jump in here and answer that a little bit for you? One of the things I noticed between this book and the past book is the past one read more like a book. This one reads more like a training manual. The way you have it set up, it really comes across more like an instructional how-to on the mental side of riding than you're reading a book, which I, by the way, really liked because, you know, people with ADD like me, when you read in the book, it's a little bit tougher. This is very short sections, and then also tips along the way. It's more like a manual, and obviously you wanted it to be that way this time.
You know what? Yeah, and I'm not going to take credit for that. I've got a wonderful publishers who said exactly what you said, Glenn, that the information that I presented them, they said, you know, Daniel, this would make a great training manual. So as a result, we put in lots of what we call pressure-proof plans. So this is a plan you can do. If you feel show jitters, here is a plan. You know, and you can consider following these 5 or 7 steps when you feel show jitters. And then there are pressure-proof projects, which are actual fill-in-the-blank pages, you know, and quizzes. And this is the neat part. If any of your listeners end up having a copy of Pressure Proof Your Riding, they can go to my website and download all of the quizzes and all the projects and the plans, so they don't have to write in their new book. So they can actually download all of the fill-in-the-blank things out of the book for free off of the website, so they don't have to kind of mess up their new book. Because ideally, you know, they'll fill out a questionnaire today, and then they're going to overcome that. Let's say that they get nervous when people watch. Well, they'll fill out a questionnaire how to overcome that, and then it gets to go away. Then they overcome that, and then next month they can download that same questionnaire and fill in their new fear. Okay, well, now I don't get nervous when people watch. Now I get nervous when I go first in a class, you know. And hey, I wanted to make one other quick point. Glenn, I loved your idea. That's why some of us don't compete, because it makes us nervous and we get tense and we get anxious. But what's important for us to understand is that we don't just need to be competitors to get nervous. You know, a lot of people get nervous when they go from a pony to a horse. That makes a lot of people nervous. They're higher off the ground. They've got farther to fall. Some riders get nervous if they go for trail rides, they get nervous when they go by themselves because they're far away from home and they don't have somebody there, you know, in case of trouble. So, in fact, show jitters, you know, that sort of capitalizes our thoughts when it comes to, you know, mental training for the equestrian. But I've made a bit of an effort to make sure that everybody, competitive and recreational, even the non-competitors, you know what, they still feel nervous from time to time. They still get anxious. They still doubt themselves. They'll still think perhaps, you know, less than positive thoughts. So the book is actually written for the competitor and the non-competitor. And then if you take it another step, back to what Jamie was saying about, you know, we get nervous and we get tense and we do all these things. Hopefully the book is not just about riding. Hopefully people can look beyond the words and understand that positive thinking and confidence building can help us in every other aspect of our lives. You know, I think that's a really important point.
It's funny you say that, Daniel. I'm actually on your website right now, which is stewartclinics.com, and I've looked at and downloaded the Pressure Proof Project number 1, and you're right. This is not just for riders. You know, the first thing is you've got to answer 0, 1, or 2 as far as zero, never, sometimes, or almost always. And the first thing you say is, I'm driven by success rather than by fear of not achieving success. I'm a doer, not a feeler. I know my strengths and weaknesses and use this knowledge to improve. These are not just horse things. These are the way that you can live your life. And you're right. You don't have to, Glenn, you don't have to be a rider to learn something from Daniel Stewart. I mean, come on. Glenn, even you can learn something.
Even Glenn can read the book. Glenn, there's pictures. There's cartoons.
I like that there's cartoons. Who did the cartoons? Let's give them a shout-out. There's some terrific cartoons in here.
Oh, yeah. You know, she's just wonderful. Her name is Erin Smith. She's out in she's out in California. She's been a longtime student of mine and has actually become a good sort of a good friend of mine over the years. So I've taught her clinics for the last 10 years. She knew me before I even had children, and my children are 11 years old now. Wonderful artist, so wonderful that she was picked up by Pixar and worked for them, designing and as an artist, and now broke off on her own and is working on designing the graphics for video games. So, but the cartoons are just wonderful. My favorite is with a rider. She just did a head plant. She's in the dirt. There's, you know, little dust all over the place, and then in the thought bubble the word just says crap. it's just these silly little cartoons that hopefully bring a little bit of humor to a subject that can be a little bit intimidating, you know. So if we talk about perfectionism, if we talk about fear of failure, if we talk about performance anxiety, obviously there's a little bit of a serious undertone to that. So the idea of the silly jokes that I tell through the book and the idea of the silly pictures and the cartoons, the idea is to hopefully try and lighten up some of these dark subjects. So,
Jamie, there's something else too. You teach a lot of kids, and one of the things I really liked, Daniel, in this book was you have a whole section and really do concentrate on this, on how to be a good coach to little kids and to kids. and how to start the mental training with kids. And you have a whole page of just tips on how to deal with kids and get them thinking about the mental side, because let's face it, kids are not thinking about anything except, you know, who they're texting next. So it's really hard to get, you know, it's hard to get them, you know, really concentrating on the mental side of writing, but you really do give some tips to the trainers who are dealing with kids. And I like
you
that.
Know,
I like that.
So. Yeah, I agree with you. I think mental coaching or sports psychology, without a question, it can help everybody. You know, competitor, non-competitor, rider, non-rider, young and old. I really believe that. And as a matter of fact, with the young rider, hopefully we understand with the young rider that sports psychology is preventative medicine. So the whole idea of this book is to help the young rider learn to never feel show jitters. Learn to never develop perfectionistic tendencies, because when we set the bar of expectations so high that we can't reach it, well, that's when we get frustrated and disappointed. So we need to avoid, you know, things like developing fear of failure. We need to develop the ability to avoid show jitters. So with the young rider, it's awesome preventative medicine. Let's teach them to avoid it before it ever happens. But with the adult rider, the adult with issues, again, we've talked about this in previous interviews. With the adult, it's corrective medicine. We're already nervous. We're already show jittery. We're already afraid of making mistakes or coming off or being imperfect or finishing last. We've developed, as babies, we have two fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. That's it. Every one of us is born with those two fears. All of the others, including the fear of failing, the fear of making a mistake, the fear of not being perfect, the fear of looking bad in front of others, all of those other fears, we've taught ourselves. So with the adult rider, the sports psychology in the book is a lot more like corrective medicine. That's okay that you get nervous. That means you care. It's okay that you feel a show jitters from time to time, but do know that there are tools in the book that can help you to correct that. So,
wow.
In the last 4 weeks, I've taught at University of New Hampshire, University of Connecticut, Princeton, and then I go to Virginia Tech next week. So you're right. I truly believe that if we can teach the young riders the positive confidence building techniques early, then we set them up for a lifetime of great riding. I really do believe that.
Well,
thanks for seeing that.
I will run through a wall for you, Daniel Stewart. Just tell me where to go. I will do it.
Would it be a wall made of coffee and chocolate? That would be a good one to go through.
I would run through that wall for you, Daniel.
There we go.
Daniel, where can people get a copy of this book?
Well, you know what? I think they can get a copy of it anywhere. Anywhere. You know, I'm they can get it at Bit of Britain. They can order it through Dover. They can order it, you know, online through Amazon. I think it's just about, I think that my publishers have done a great job of saturating the market with it. But if anybody would like to order one from my website, so it's Stewart Clinics, that's plural with an S on the end, stewartclinics.com, then when I receive the book order, I autograph the book to the rider. So they can get a book anywhere, but if they want an autograph copy, they can just go through my website, and then when I receive it, I'll autograph it. And there's a little place on my website to order where they can actually tell me who they'd like to dedicate the book to. So I could, guys, I did this 400 times on Friday. I dedicated and autographed 400 books because I pre-sold 400 books. I can't even move my hand anymore. but your riders, your listeners can ask me, please dedicate the book to me and my horse, or me and my family, or me and my barn, or my pony club and I. Apparently that's proper grammar, my pony club and I. But so they could certainly order it through my website, and then I'll be happy to send them an autograph and dedicated copy.
Aw, that's awesome. That's stewartclinics.com. Daniel, again, it's always a pleasure having you on, and talking to you is always inspirational and makes me want to get a little better. So I can't wait to get a copy of this book. I can't wait to read it, and I can't wait to implement it into my daily riding. So, again, thank you very much. Stewartclinics.com, and we will talk to you again soon. Hopefully see you soon.
Can I leave you listeners with one other thought? There's a whole study of sports psychology called the science of happiness, and that's what this is all about. We need to make sure that when we pass the gate to go into the barn, that we're happy, because our jobs and our husbands and our wives, they might make us crazy, but the riding is supposed to be our refuge. It's supposed to be our happy place. The science of happiness has proven something. We are 34% better at doing everything when we're happy. So we're 34% better as a parent, as a mom, a dad, as a student, as a teacher, as a writer, as a football player. We're 34% better when we're happy. So when your listeners go through the book, I want them to try and find two or three techniques, tips, tools that they believe will make them happy. Because at the end of the day, if we're happy when we ride, we're going to ride well, whether we're competitive, recreational, young or old. So thank you very much again. It was a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you very much, Daniel. We will talk to you again very soon. And you're right, that being happy is the most important thing when it comes to being around the horses. And
right.
I totally agree. We just had a kid, Daniel. We just had our first baby. And it's great. But it's so funny. My husband's like, please, go outside and ride your horse. Just please go. Just go. Go ride your horse, and I'll talk to you in an hour. I'm like, okay. And I come back refreshed and happy, and that's the way it should be. And I think I'm starting to definitely appreciate that. So, again, StuartClinics.com.
Yeah.
Thank you, Daniel.
You're welcome.
Daniel.
You guys take care. Thank you for having me today.
All right. Bye-bye.
So two things babies are afraid of is being dropped. And what was the other one? Being dropped and loud noises. And now you've taken your baby to the casino, so for the rest of his life, he's going to be terrified of guys in suits with little earplugs.
I'm training him for fear. Yes, you're right. He's afraid of security. Weird fear.
I love Daniel. He's just, you could talk to him for an entire day and not cover the same ground, but he just makes you feel so good about life. He really does.
And it's true. It's funny that the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises, when those are the two things that immediately little Luke had kind of programmed in him. That's so funny. I've never heard that before. And then you're right. You teach that. How can I teach my child not to have any more fear? Should I just start reading him Daniel Stewart's book like every night as he goes to sleep?
Yeah, that's it. That's what you need to do, especially this book. I really, truly do like how this one is set up. It's really cool how it's set up. It just is done. It's done as a manual. It's really done a lot differently than the other one. I like it. I like it a lot. I think you're going to like it too. And as he said, it just came out.
I'm not going to ever see that book, am I, Glenn? It's going to be in Glenn's office, and I will never see it.
I've just stolen it. I like the cartoons. So
that's awesome.
Just one cartoon. There's just a lot of funny cartoons in here that really say it all. All right, that's it. I'll put the book down now. Let's take a break for our song. We're going to come back with Leslie Wiley with the Wacky World of Horses report from Horse Nation in just a minute. But first, Girl with the Guitar by Chancey Neal. We'll be right back.
Out on your own. I got a hug from mama, still on my mind. But daddy's little girl is doing fine. Tears in my eyes, a smile on my face. The rest of my life starts today.
Well, that was Chancey Neal, Girl with a Guitar. You can listen to all of Chancey's music at ChanceyNeal.com. You can find all of her music down there. She is a cowgirl from Tennessee. Well, next, we are going to have Leslie Wiley on here in just a minute. But first, I want to tell you, listening to Horses in the Morning, I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Baby Luke. And, of course, Coach Jen is producing today. I wanted to mention that tomorrow we have a very special show for you here on Horses in the Morning. And it's our special Arabian edition of Horses in the Morning, co-hosted by Karen McMurtry of Sarasota, Florida, who is an Arabian breeder and shower and been in the Arabian world for about 25 years. I mentioned this the other day on the show, Jamie, and Robert, your neighbor down there in Arizona, I said, Robert, you're going to like this. Well, apparently he heard it while he was in the car on the way out to the barn, and he said his son was with him, and he said he kind of felt like a celebrity when he heard his own name. And I said, yep, you're going to like this show, Robert. All about Arabs tomorrow on Horses in the Morning. So we hope that you can join us. It should be a lot of fun. She has a couple of great guests lined up talking about Western dressage is becoming big now in the Arab world as well. So we're going to be talking a little Western dressage tomorrow in addition to Arabian stuff of all sorts. So we'll be doing that tomorrow. She's a neighbor of Wendy's down there in Sarasota, Florida. And what else? We'll have the wheel back here on Wednesday morning, and then I will be coming to you live from Aiken, South Carolina on Friday morning, and I'll be at a location we'll announce later in the week, but I will be there for the American Driving Association's annual meeting. So we're going to be doing a little driving this weekend. Wendy's bringing the carriage and the horses up, and we're going to have a little fun. There's 40 rigs going to be there, Jamie, and about 150 people at the annual meeting. So we're supposed to do a parade right through Aiken on Saturday morning. It'll be one of the few times they actually close off Main Street and allow us to parade through town. So that should be a lot of fun.
What a cool place. What a cool place. I'm jealous. I'm jealous you're going to Aiken.
Well, but remember they have that one road that it's completely tree-covered from both sides? And we actually get to drive down that road, too. So driving down that road with a whole bunch of, like, 40 different carriages should be a lot of fun. I think that'll be a pleasure.
Awesome. Well, I believe Leslie is Leslie ready, or is she still working on it?
I think she's here. So let's talk to Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation.
What's up, girl?
How's it going?
Good.
Living the dream.
So it's
now, Leslie, were you at a show over the weekend?
I was. I went.
Where were you at?
I went to Tryon Riding and Hunt Club Horse Trials in Tryon, North Carolina, and it was a really fun weekend. I did not even think I was going to be able to go because my horse had a hot nail and was off for a week before the horse show. But he pulled through at the last minute, so he got to go. We dropped down a level, but he did really well. And another really neat part of the weekend was they had a great big benefit dinner for Amy Barrington, who I believe you guys a week or two ago had a segment on her. So that was really cool. That's such a great community up there. It was just packed and so many people donated items and services to a silent auction that went to benefit the Equestrian Aid Foundation and Amy. And it was a special weekend for sure.
Very good. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about was a picture I saw on your page. Apparently, your reputation precedes you because there's this orange emergency traffic cone, and at the top it says emergency access, no horses, and then right below it it says especially Leslie Wiley. So, you care to explain what kind of trouble you were getting in at the show over the weekend?
The course designer there at the horse park is John Wells, and he's a good friend of mine. We've known each other for many years. And he's always giving me a hard time and trying to invent new and new ways to embarrass me.
Well, apparently he did a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
That was really cute. And wait, before I also noticed a woman who used to be on our show all the time, Lisa Slade from Chronicle of the Horse. I know you guys are like BFFs, and there's a picture of you guys riding, and I guess she finally got her horse up to training level, and you guys were wearing green in honor of Amy Barrington.
We were, yes. We both take lessons from Amy, and so we decided everyone that weekend, over the weekend, we all had green ride for Amy wristbands, and Lisa and I thought it'd be fun to wear green for our cross country colors, just sort of to in honor of Amy, and
I'm glad you did that. Tell Lisa we said hi, and we certainly miss her, and we'd love to have her back on sometime. So let's talk a little bit about what is. I've got to jump directly into the truck commercials that you have posted, and maybe it's because it's Chevy, but I saw that you liked that truck commercial where the guy is. Explain the commercial, and then I'll tell you what my problem was with it.
Okay. it's the new Chevy commercial, and they came out with a commercial before this that was the, I think it was called a Woman in Her Truck, and it was this amazing commercial. It's like this woman, she like hitches up her truck and puts the horse in the back and goes to the barrel racing competition, and it's so amazing.
Yeah, in that commercial was like, she wins, she gets ribbons to put on her wall, not her hair. It was great commercial. And then there's the dude one, and I know you liked it, and you're like, I'm going to go buy a Chevy, but I got to call BS on it. Go ahead and say what that commercial was.
Well, okay, so it's this cowboy, and the fence is broken. He has to go out, it's raining. He has to go out, drive through the mud and find the lost baby cow. And it's a baby cow, and it's all wet, and it's cold, and and I don't know. And then he finds it, and he picks it up, and he carries it, and I guess he puts it in the backseat of his truck. I don't know. But
that's where I was okay, hold on. Did he put the baby cow in the bed of the truck in the rain, or did he put it in his, is he holding it in the interior of his brand new truck?
It might be, on his lap. I don't know.
You think too much.
Well, that was my first problem. My second problem was, why are you... How big is your property that you're driving through traffic to go find a freaking baby cow that's lost in the rain? And then, get a horse. Why are you driving a truck to find a cow? That's what horses are for. The other thing I had the problem with Leslie Wiley is then he goes and picks up a Holstein, a milk cow. He picks up a milk cow, a veal calf.
But it's cute. It's cuter. It's black and white.
See, a Dodge person would have at least picked up a Longhorn, a baby Longhorn or something like that, you know.
They don't come with the big horns. I got to tell you, they don't come with those, Jamie. They grow those later.
Yes, but I know what a baby milk cow looks like. Seriously. His wild, crazy milk cows, come on. Yeah, so my whole thing was, get a horse, dude. If you're going to be, driving around looking for a baby cow, how are you going to see a baby cow lost in the rain from the road?
I don't know. I think you're thinking about this too hard, Jamie. I think you
I think you really are over the line.
Let it speak to your heart, not your brain.
Open up,
it's
Jamie.
Not
open
like
up.
The Budweiser commercial. The Budweiser commercial that where the Clydesdale gets loose and gallops down the busy city streets to find his old owner. That was a good commercial.
But that's not realistic either.
Shut up. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Totally. That, all the time.
Okay, carry on. Sorry, Glenn. You take over. I'm done.
No, that's okay. I was looking at the bad advice one. Tell us about that one.
Oh, okay. let me pull. Oh, sorry. I thought I had this pulled up. But, okay, yeah. So, you know, horses, super expensive, right? So I started thinking about some interesting ways to make loads of money, maybe not the smartest or wisest ideas, but effective.
But they're quick.
quick and easy. Well, not easy.
The first one's not so easy.
Yeah, the first one would be. So one, do you have any idea how much kidneys go for on the black market?
Don't ask. So your idea was to sell your kidney on the black market?
$262,000.
What?
Is how much your kidney is worth. You know what kind of an amazing schoolmaster horse you could buy with that? Or
huge. And living quarter trailers and trucks. Wait,
trailer.
And you have an extra one of these, right? So you don't need both.
Did you go to, is there like blackmarketkidney.com? Is that where you found the price? Just curious.
Maybe.
Now,
I've already
that?
Sold my kidney. I don't know.
I like number two. Jamie's not volunteering for this one anytime soon. I don't care what it pays. Have someone else's baby for them. You signing up for that, Jamie?
Hell no.
Not even
20
for
to 30,000 a pop, Jamie. 20 to 30,000 a pop.
I don't care. I'm not doing that again. That was awful.
Not worth it.
Not worth it.
Cross that one off the list. I like number three, too. Lose the house. You don't need a house anyway. You're in the barn most of the time. Sell the house. A lot of people end up doing that. We did. We got the heck. We got so sick of having the big house and the big farm. It's like, okay, sell the house and we can afford to do a lot more stuff. It was true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was true. I like marry into money, too. That's one that every horsewoman strives for.
Yeah, right.
That's the goal of every horsewoman.
Yeah, and one thing I point out is, like, you know, I think a lot of women, they get caught up in details, looks, personality, et cetera. It doesn't matter. All that matters is how much is in their bank account. And if, down the line, you know, you decide that it's just not going to work out, then you divorce them, you take the house, and you sell the house and spend it on horse stuff.
I'm with you. Now, you know what my mama used to tell me? My mama would say, now, Jamie, it is just as easy to fall in love with a rich man as it is a poor man. So go rich.
Okay, let's analyze how all the females on this line right now did with this. Jennifer, 25 years ago, you blew that because I definitely wasn't. Let's go to Leslie now. And how'd you do?
Maya, marrying into money.
Yeah, you just got married.
Is
he filthy rich?
I messed up. I followed my heart.
And Jamie?
Yeah, I married a government employee.
So all three of the women on this line did really well with this.
Yeah. That's why I'm going to have to sell my kidney.
Girl, I'm in line behind you. And if you can find a knife, if you don't get an infection from the shady person that does your surgery, I'm doing it next.
They'll keep you posted.
And then the last one I think is just disturbing, by the way. I just found it disturving. Yeah, and where did you ever come up with the idea to do an article about onesies for horses?
I don't know. I think lots of things, sort of weird horsey things, sort of float through my periphery. And this was one that I sort of, that horse onesies exist was something that I'd sort of like, you know, become aware of a while back, but I hadn't really pursued this because I think I just repressed it. Like, it just seems wrong to me. But
what exactly is a horse onesie? I'm confused.
So you know people onesies, right? Baby onesie is. So people, this has actually been a trend in the last like year or so. People, grown adults wearing onesies, like full body suits, you know. Maybe
Let me guess,
even...
they probably watch My Little Pony too, just.
That might be true. So now the trend is being carried over into the horse world. Horse onesies do exist in a wide variety of patterns and colors. And what the point is exactly of having your horse completely covered, I'm not sure. Maybe because your horse is gray. I can see putting a gray horse in a full body one. But you know what? One of our readers suggested this, and I thought it was brilliant. A onesie, a full body horse onesie made of bubble wrap. That would sell.
There you go.
That'd be good. That'd be good.
That's a good idea. Jamie, I want to see you put Jet, your retired thoroughbred racehorse, into one of these onesies and see how long he keeps it on. I want to see how long. I'll put a wager on that.
Let me tell you right now, we wouldn't get it on because I would die. He would kill me before I was able to get anything over his back hoof. Now, I did notice that you did say in your article that recently several celebrities have been spotted wearing onesies, including but not limited to Brad Pitt, so on, so on. So I Googled Brad Pitt in a onesie, and if there is a man on the planet who could look good wearing a onesie, it is Brad Pitt. But I don't understand. It comes right up immediately. And he is, you're right, he's wearing a onesie. That's it.
Okay,
yep,
that's
yep.
Just, I don't know, that's just disturbing. I just found the same picture. I don't know, that's kind of disturbing. The black one.
It's more like a pinky, though, right? I don't know. I'd wear a onesie, maybe. Maybe I'm wearing a onesie right now. I don't know. I wish I was. That would be my name.
And on that note. And then on that, we've been speaking to Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation, and we're not talking to her anymore because she has to run right now because My Little Pony's coming on, and she needs to go watch it.
That's wrong with that.
Bye, Leslie. We'll see you later.
Have a great week.
Bye, girl.
Bye. HorseNation.com. you're probably in a onesie, okay. Too. Does the little guy wear onesies now?
Yes, that's all he wears, but he's an infant, so he can get away with it. Now, I was looking here. There's an article on The Guardian, which is like the fashion section of their page, and it is it ever okay to wear a onesie? They say that wearing a onesie is an equivalent to saying to the world, I am on a strike. I'm on a sex strike. I'm not having it anymore.
So in other words, don't wear it to the bar. You're not going to pick up women in your onesie, even if you are Brad Pitt, I would add.
You are on strike for life is what it is if you are wearing a onesie.
Speaking about life, I have something I want to talk about. We have a couple minutes left here. I found this on Facebook. One of my friends posted it. I thought it was so good. It's just a list that is called The Truths About My Life. The Truths About My Life. And some of these are really good. I thought I'd bring it up today. Number one, I think part of a best friend's job should be to immediately clear your computer history if you die. I kind of like that idea. Talk to somebody about that.
Absolutely. Amen. I'm sure men need that more than women.
You know, you never think about that. Nothing sucks more than the moment during an argument when you realize you're wrong. That is so true. And then you have an argument amongst yourself about whether you admit it or you give in. So that's one that's tough. I totally take back all the times I didn't want to nap when I was younger.
I started thinking about that with Luke because I have to put him down for naps a couple times a day. And I was like, dude, I would kill for a nap a couple times a day now. Can you imagine how nice it'd be like, oh, wait, I've been awake for 3 hours. I've got to go take a nap.
And then There is great need, this is for texters, there's a great need for a sarcasm font.
Amen.
That is so true, because texting is, oh God, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten the inflection wrong, or somebody has misunderstood what I'm saying, because you know me, I'm a little sarcastic. So I try to be on text, you can't. You cannot do it in text. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, you're right.
And number five, how the hell are you supposed to hold or fold a fitted sheet?
No,
I give up. I roll them in a ball now. I don't even try.
Yeah.
I just roll them in a ball. It's just like,
you know,
it ends up in a ball anyway.
When my mom comes to visit me and she's listening to the show, the first thing I ask is, she's like, do you need any help with anything? I'm like, if you could organize my bedding closet. Like, if you could just, and she's like, well, what do you need? I'm like, fold the fitted sheet. And why my mother can fold a fitted sheet and has never taught her daughter, I do not know. It's something like she likes to hold over my head. So I'm indebted to her forever. But yes, I don't know how to do it. She can do it. I can't do it.
I read a survey the other day, too, speaking of sheets, of how many people actually make their beds. And I was surprised. It was like 60%. Do you make your bed every day? And this is every day you make your bed before you go on with your daily life. And I mean make it, you know, pull it, tuck it in, you know, put the pillows in the right place, all that crap.
I make my bed before I go to sleep at night.
Yeah, because you want it to be all smooth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should just do it in the morning, but I just can't do it.
I can't. We don't make our bed either. You know, it's one of those things that my mom made us do. So when I left home, I said, I'm never doing that again. Like, my mother also was one of, my mother and father both were this way. They always made big meals in the evening. So my mom loved to cook, and she made big meals, and we all had to sit and eat them and everything. But immediately when dinner was over, even when we had company, I'm not saying 2 seconds when dinner was over, you had to be washing the dishes, and those dishes had to, no sitting around talking, no sitting around socializing. You had to get those dishes done. And then when the dishes were done, you could socialize. Well, by then everybody is split, you know? So
yeah. We
don't do that. I have a rule now, whether we have company or not, is the dishes stay till morning. Because guess what? They're still there. It's amazing.
Really? Oh, see, that's not the rule in my house. we'll do whatever we want to after dinner, but I made dinner and my husband's going to clean it. Okay? And that's the rule.
Yeah. But you've probably experienced this, Jamie. When you go to someone's house, whether it's a very good friend or an acquaintance, how awkward is it when you are company and you are sitting at the dining room table while everybody in the family goes and washes dishes? Really?
And then if you offer to help, they don't want you to help, you know, then it really becomes even more uncomfortable.
It's just, I think your mom did that because she wanted the company to get the hell out of there as fast as possible.
Exactly.
I think that's what she did.
That's them telling you to leave. That's your turn. Go ahead, get out.
Another one. Was learning cursive in elementary school really necessary? Not today.
No.
They don't sign their names in cursive anymore. Obituaries would be a lot more interesting if they told you how the person died. That drives me crazy because you got a friend from high school or somebody you know from the past that passes away. You look them up, you find the obituary, you don't know how they died. Like, I want to know.
Yeah. It's like that show, A Thousand Ways to Die. I need to know so I can avoid these things.
That's right. Bad decisions make good stories, and especially for talk show hosts. We live that life right there.
That's my life.
You never know what will strike, but there comes a moment at work when you know that you just aren't going to do anything productive for the rest of the day. Sometimes that moment comes at 9 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes it comes at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But it is so true. When you work for somebody else and you're sitting in the cubicle and all of a sudden you realize, I'm done. There's nothing else going to happen. Sometimes it's after lunch.
I might as well leave. I might as well check out.
I mean, you were on the radio. That was tough because you really had to show up and, you know, be there. But that was tough. That must have been tough for you.
It's still tough. I wake up really early for this crappy show, too.
I'm always slightly terrified when I exit out of Microsoft Word and it asks me if I want to save any changes to my 10-page technical report, and I swear I did not make any changes. And then you go, I didn't make any changes. And then you go, well, if I don't save, maybe I did. I always hit yes. Save it. Whatever it is, save it. I hate leaving. I hate leaving my house confident and looking good, and then not seeing anyone of importance the rest of the day. What a waste.
That's true. That's true. If I'm going to put some effort into it, I want to see somebody famous.
And this is a Seinfeld one. Why doesn't the freezer have a light? Your refrigerator has a light, but the freezer doesn't have a light. It's true. Think about it.
My freezer has a light.
Jennifer and I have been really... We must have an expensive freezer because ours doesn't have a light. I don't think we've ever had one that had a light. How about this one? This has happened
huh.
to Jennifer and I more than a few times. I wish Google Maps or my GPS had an avoid ghetto routing option.
Yeah.
Because we've been through that one a few times. I would rather carry, and this is true, I'd rather try to carry 10 overloaded plastic grocery bags in each hand than take 2 trips to bring my groceries in. We all do it.
That is my husband. I'm like, hon, just make another trip. No, I got it. I got it. Like, he tries to get every single item. You skipped over this one, and I really like number 19. I disagree with K Jewelers. I would bet on any given Friday or Saturday night, more kisses begin with Miller Lite than K. Too true, my friend. Or Jägermeister or tequila or whatever else it is. Yes, kisses don't start with jewelry, okay?
This is one I have trouble with. I have a hard time deciphering the fine line between boredom and hunger.
Yes.
I have a really tough time with that because you know what? If I'm bored, I'm hungry. There is no fine line. It's just the same. It's the same.
You are exactly right. Now, yeah. I also liked number 14. Do not machine wash or tumble dry. If that's on the label, that means I'm never going to wash it, ever. Ever.
Do you look at the labels? I just throw everything in and I figure what survives deserves to live.
Like that. If you survive, you will move on to the next day. If not, you get
that's
the
right.
rose.
You're out of here. I mean, we tend not to want to buy anything that you know requires extra care because I'm not going to. I always wash everything in the same thing. So
that's a good point. I just don't buy
Jennifer's
stuff like that.
Yeah, Jennifer's lost more clothing that way. And speaking of clothing, shirts get dirty, underwear gets dirty, pants never get dirty. You can wear them a lot. It's like forever. You don't ever have to wash pants.
That's you.
Yeah. That's me.
That's true.
See. You wear underwear. Why should you have to wear it if they're not dirty on the outside, not dirty on the inside? Why do you have to wash them? Just wear them again.
I get them dirty on the outside, though, and then I just go, I'm just going to get them dirty tomorrow, too. So
that doesn't apply to horse girls.
Yeah, exactly.
But I love this one, too. And this is in the days when we used to wear watches, although I find myself doing it with my phone now. I did it over the weekend. Sometimes I'll look down at my watch 3 consecutive times and still not know what time it is. You do that. I mean, even with my phone, I'll get it out to check the time. And then I put it – when I get it out to check the time, I see, oh, I have a text. You got to look at the text. I forget to look at the time, put it back in the holster, and then all of a sudden I'm still wondering what time it is.
Yeah.
I
have a hard time, Glenn, even walking into a room and remembering what I went into that room for, much less remembering why I'm looking at my phone. There's so many distractions. But like, ever since I got pregnant, I'll walk in the room and be like, what the hell was I doing in here? And then I'll open the fridge and get a snack. I don't know what's going on.
Couple more, and then we'll wrap up the show. Is it just me, or do high school kids get dumber and dumber each year?
Yes.
I think that's a yes. Judging by Craigslist, by really bad ads every Friday, that's a yes. That's
do you know what, though?
Yes.
I have a bunch of teenagers that come out here and ride. They leased some of my horses over the summer, and I did have to ask, and I felt like such an old lady, Glenn. I was like, Cameron, can you tell me what twerking is. What
okay,
is twerking?
Does it make you feel?
Everybody talks about twerking.
Does it make you feel any better? I had to look it up in the Urban Dictionary. So if it makes you feel any better, I also, after that thing, had to look it up. And how
for
about
those
this?
Who don't
this
know
one?
What it is, you can email us and we'll explain to what I don't think I could explain it. It's that funky, weird dance movement where they grind on stuff, right?
Urban Dictionary, Urban Dictionary. You'll find the complete definition of that using all the colorful language.
The last one we'll do today. There's no worse feeling than the millisecond you are going to die. You're sure you're going to die after leaning your chair back a little too far. We have all done it. Your chair gets to that point, and you're going, I can do this. I can lean it back like this. I can talk. I can have the conversation. And then you go a little too far. I've done that in my ball several times. I forget I'm on my ball sometimes, and then you
lean back, cool. Yeah. I do the final one, though. Even under ideal conditions, people have trouble finding their car keys in their pocket, their cell phone, can't do pin the tail on the donkey. But with... in the complete darkness, with your eyes closed from across the room in about 1.7 seconds, you can hit the snooze button first time. Isn't that amazing?
That's true. You're completely asleep. Maybe that's
totally
the,
asleep.
Maybe that's the key. We should go through life asleep. Some of us do. But
we'll
be back here tomorrow.
To us, we appreciate it. Yeah, we'll be back. We'll be back tomorrow, and I'll be back Wednesday.
The special Arabian episode tomorrow morning dedicated to our Arabian listeners, of which we know we have quite a few. So we'll be dedicating the whole show to that tomorrow. Jamie will be back on Wednesday. Have a terrific day, everybody. Don't forget to download the app. Get in the App Store, iOS or Android App Store. Get it today. And listen to all of our past episodes at horsesinthemorning.com. And follow us on Facebook. Why not? We post good stuff on Facebook. Search for Horses in the Morning. See you, Ding.
Bay Neuter and Geld. Bay Neuter and Geld, and get a onesie. Glenn, get a onesie.
Oh, yeah, I look good in that. That'd be a scary sight. I think Brad Pitt looks ugly. Ooh.